Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with His fadl, blessings, karam, grace, mercy, special, and with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sadaqah, Allah ta'ala has given a special favor to this ummah, that such amal, such deeds, Allah ta'ala has given to us on this ummah, that before this, no ummah attained such rewards and favors, and this is the speciality, the special favor on the ummah that Allah ta'ala has made very simple, the way, the route to get to Allah, our Rabb, and to attain Jannah, an abode in Jannah. Just like you have Tawbah. In the previous nations, the previous ummahs, it was not easy for them to request forgiveness for the major sins. But on this ummah, Allah ta'ala has made it very simple, very easy, so easy that there's no precondition, there's no difficult task to fulfill. Whenever a person feels remorse, I need to ask Allah for forgiveness, and she stands in front of Allah and requests and pleads and accepts that I am useless and I've wasted my time and I reject this sin. And additionally, I promise not to do this sin again. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you are totally forgiven upon forgiven. So these are great words and statements and learnings that Allah ta'ala has given to us, and we should try not to be unthankful and grateful. Allah ta'ala has given us this life, and may not be in the hereafter, that for example, for one deed, due to one good deed, a person can go into paradise, due to just one good deed. That could make the difference. And what deed will that be? Just one good deed. That's it. That's enough. And on the mizan, the scale, on our pan, the weigh pan, the deeds will be placed. And if that good deed doesn't go into the weigh pan, the scale, then the weight will not increase and that person will not be able to go into paradise. So there'll be such a deed that's lacking at that time, he'll be severely upset that, oh, my decision for paradise was lacking one good deed. Imagine the value at that time of that deed. So Allah Ta'ala today, whilst we are living, has given us an open playing field. Alhamdulillah, it is not difficult to attain good deeds. On every breath, a human being can earn, practice a good deed. Let's focus for a while, pay attention, forget about one good deed. Hundreds of thousands of good deeds can stand in front of us and be attained. So how sad it will be. What a loss that due to one good deed lacking in our accounts, we're going to Jahannam, and such poverty will come. This time will come that a person will be so far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that that individual, for example, the pound will be more valuable than the good deed. 10 pence will be more valuable than the good deed. Because today we don't consider deeds as important. 10 pence today has more value for us. And such a generation will come. And I think it looks as if that generation is very close. We have issues around us, surrounding us in our lives, that will sacrifice all our time to do things that have no value. And this is in comparison to good deeds. I would like to share one thing in your service, that if we take a deed as an example, how much barakah, blessings there is in that deed. Allah Ta'ala has instilled barakah in that deed. That when a person practices that deed, then the first consequence of that deed is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala straight away forgives all his sins. Ah, imagine what is that deed, that amal. And each and every amal Allah Ta'ala has made simple. Allah says, La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Allah Ta'ala said that I have given no difficulty to the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah has given us options, flexibility, alternative routes, different methods. We still don't come towards this. So these majalis, these gatherings, sitting in the company of good people, attaining ta'aleem, the discussions that we have, all of these things refresh the iman of a person, these ma'amalat. They explain to us about the objective, what we need to do. Obviously, this is not the case. I could have started dhikr straight away. What difference would it have made? But my heart doesn't feel like this. My heart always feels Allah Ta'ala will make us do dhikr. But before dhikr, let's just recharge our batteries a little bit. Isn't it? That's why I'll say to you, I'll take a little bit of your time. And it's for myself. MashaAllah, you are pious. individuals. My battery is down, I want to recharge it, then I'll do dhikr of Allah. Then there'll be more satisfaction and attainment if we remember Allah's favors, His mercies, the words of His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And sometimes we've heard these things before, morning, evening, ulama ikram, scholars, muftis come, scholars, respectful, honorable scholars, we have gatherings. But they, if they don't tire in telling us, then why should we tire in listening? So we should listen as much as possible, hear as much as possible, refresh ourselves. Quran and Hadith is a mu'ajiza, miracle, that every time we hear something again, repeatedly it will give a new taste. For example, if I say something and leave in the next majlis, and if someone comes and says, "Has this speak about this?" Alhamdulillah, that same discussion will give a different taste and satisfaction. Don't think, "Oh, I've heard this before, we've heard this before." No. Allah Ta'ala puts a person onto the path of amal by listening time and time again. So as I was saying, there's such an amal, alhamdulillah, a deed. And Allah Ta'ala says the first good effect of that deed is that all of the sins of a person are forgiven. First consequence. Imagine, easy deed. And is it difficult to get sins forgiven? In this day and age, the courts, the judges, they don't forgive a person. No, you're inside. Get inside. But Allah is Kareem, merciful. We should be ashamed thinking that we have done this sin. We have done such big disobedience to Allah. And Allah Ta'ala, if He was to make apparent the people who are disobedient, for example, me, then nobody would say salam to me. People would be disgusted with what I've done. The people in my house, my family would kick me out. Astaghfirullah, you've done such sins and you are not ashamed. But Allah is Sattar and Ayyub. He knows everything, He sees everything. Allah Ta'ala is Sattar. Allah Ta'ala conceals the sins, and after concealing the sins, Allah says, "Are you ready to ask for forgiveness?" Allah, Subhanallah, the Creator, the Supreme Creator. Allah says quietly, "Are you ready? Come, come to me, ask for forgiveness." Allah says that I haven't told anyone yet about your sins, I've put a veil, ask for forgiveness, and then this issue between me and you will end. Subhanallah. So brothers, that deed, the amal, so the first consequence of this amal, this deed, is that all sins are forgiven straight away. The second consequence of this deed, this amal, is that not only are the sins forgiven, rather Allah Ta'ala has put power in this deed, that the power or the ability or the intention to do wrong is weakened. That person becomes so weak in sinning, his hands don't go towards sin, his legs don't go towards sin, he feels like wanting to sin. For example, if a person doesn't eat 4 or 5 days, he gets weak, etc., unwell, then his hands won't go to the glass. He's weak. "Oh, give me a glass, please. Or give me a plate, please." Because he's weak and frail. So this deed is such a deed that when a person, he implements this deed, then consequence number two is that he becomes disabled in terms of sinning. He'll say, "How can I sin?" And the seal is put on sinning. The desire on sin for sinning is ended. So brothers, will we practice this amal? Inshallah, inshallah. Why not? And the third factor, the third consequence of doing this amal, this good deed, is that Allah Ta'ala has put a special characteristic in this amal, this deed, is Allah Ta'ala says the effect of this characteristic is that all physical illnesses and diseases are cured. Cancer will go. Forget about cancer. It's got nothing. Nothing can stand in front of this deed. You've seen sometimes people, the walis of Allah, the awliya, that they are old, mashallah, and they're doing the work of the deen, that they are writing thousands of kitabs. In this country, people will be amazed that they're writing tafsir, commentary of the Quran. Mufti Shafi Sab Rahmatullah Alay, with regards to him, it stated that he was old, he couldn't get up from his bed in the final days, and after that he passed away and he went to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even in that condition state, he used to lie down and write tafsir of Quran. His children explained this. Subhanallah. The doctor said, "Rest." And the doctor said, "Rest, Hazrat, rest." He said, "I've rested all my life. I don't know how much time is left in my life. Let me do something that can benefit the ummah." Subhanallah. So this is the strength that Allah Ta'ala gives to the walis of Allah. So the physical diseases, even those are given cure by this amal. That's consequence number three. And the fourth consequence of this deed, I'm just telling you a few fadail, virtues of this deed. The fourth fadail or good consequence of this deed is that any man, any human being, without that deed, cannot become the wali of Allah. You know, we say wali Allah, awliya Allah, muqarrabin, salihin. These words, muttaqeen, abideen. And the people who are close to Allah, taqiyya. These are words that define and praise the awliya Allah. So we realize that doesn't matter. All the awliya in the history of Islam, it was lazim. essential for them to practice this deen. So mashallah, you are pious, you are already good, you are determined, you're focused, you've got this path, you're practicing on it. So we should know about this deen. If we're on that line, that path, we're working hard, we want to get close to Allah, then we're wasting our time if we don't know about this deed. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what is that deed that will give these four consequences, effects? What's that amal? What is that deed? We need to know about it. Alaykum bi qiyamul layl. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you should upon yourself make lazim the prayer of tahajjud. Tahajjud. Subhanahu alaykum. Make it lazim upon yourself. If you want to be saved from sins, if you want to immediately want your sins forgiven, if you want to become disabled in terms of being able to sin, yes, if you want consequence number three, that you want physical diseases to be eliminated so you don't have to go to a hospital, you don't need to have blood transfusions, you don't need big injections, then it's stated, pray Salatul Tahajjud. If you desire that you want your name to be included in the list of those people who are the awliya Allah, the beloveds of Allah, the friends of Allah, the pious servants of Allah, then make tahajjud lazim upon yourself in your life. Lazim. Compulsory. This is such a great deed, my friends. Nobody can reach close to Allah. No wali of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tahajjud salah was fard. And so the awliya Allah made tahajjud wajib, compulsory on themselves, that without this prayer I cannot get close to Allah. The path to get close to Allah is what? Through is tahajjud salah. They are great deeds. But for Allah's friendship, Allah has laid down a condition that if you want to meet me, then meet me at the appointed time. There's an appointed time. Come to me that time and do sujood, prostration, get close to me, raise your hands. And when you raise your hands and do dua, you won't just be praying and requesting. Rather, there'll be secrets between me and you, discussions, Allah says. And this is the mu'amala of the awliya Allah. Yes, they would call out to Allah at the appointed time. Umar ibn Hazar Garami Kara Qadar Nur Allah Marqada Rahmatullahi, my Shaykh. I will tell you one of his statements. And mashallah, from the Chishti Qandar, from the Mashaykh, Hazrat Muhammad Hussain Nur al-Marqadu. He was a Shaykh al-Hadith, and in Bhopal he used to teach Hadith, and this was the generation of Rashid Ahmed Gongohi Sahib, Hazrat Tanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi, and these were the great Hazrat Saranpuri Sahib. This was the golden generation. Rather, Hazrat Saranpuri Sahib had such friendship with my Hazrat Sahib's father, Hazrat Muhammad Hussain, that he would come to Gadai Sharif himself. Hazrat Saranpuri Sahib would come to Gadai Sharif to my Sheikh's father, and they were close friends. They would sit together, discuss, and he was a Sheikh al-Hadith in Bhopal. He used to teach Hadith. Hazrat stated, my Sheikh, that the initial ta'leem I had, I learned from my father. Subhanallah. And his father was very famous, and he used to sit with Hazrat Gongohi Sahib Rahmatullahi, with Hazrat Saranpuri Sahib Rahmatullahi. So anyway, so Hazrat said, I was young, once we were in the Khanqah, it was tahajjud time, it was the morning time, and I was sat with my honorable father, and I was maraqib, and then my father ushered to me, the Ali Murtaza. I said, yes, father. He said, did you hear that? And Hazrat Ali Murtaza said, I didn't hear. And his father said, you didn't hear? He said, no. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling towards the people that come to me, whoever wants to ask from me. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat said this waqiyah himself. So what's stated in hadith is reality. And we want to hear. Allah ta'ala gives maqam, martaba to the great sincere people. No. Oh, I can't get up. If I can't hear Allah speaking to me or calling out to me, then I won't get up. No, this is wrong. So this is such a time, the time of tahajjud. Look, tahajjud salah. What is the timings? The time of tahajjud has started now. Straight away after Isha, salah, tahajjud time starts. And some mufassirin and the commentators have stated, the pious elders, that after fard of Isha, tahajjud time starts straight away. Yes, it starts so quickly. So, if you want to know about the time for praying tahajjud, so a person can prostrate after Isha with the intention of tahajjud, because the name of tahajjud has been mentioned. There's no doubt, and he can become a person who's praying tahajjud. Some people say, I do pray. When do you pray? Oh, after Isha, I pray tahajjud straight away. Alhamdulillah, that's good. Good practice, theoretically. But a point arises here. That tahajjud you will pray after Isha, you can pray after 30 minutes after Isha or 12 midnight or 1 a.m. But that real essence time, the third part of the night, you're not getting the benefit of that time. Say subhanAllah. The real enjoyment is in the third part of the night, when Allah Ta'ala is close to the human beings and He's calling out. SubhanAllah. And what a great point here at that time. the servant of Allah. Between Allah and his servant, there's such a great connection. And after a few hours, that time will start. The connection time will start. The Allah Ta'ala is saying to his servants at that time, that I've come to you. Ask from me for what you want. Ask from me. Ask me whatever you need. Ask from me. I'll give to you. Allahu Akbar. You want health? Ask for health. You want children? Ask for children. You want rizq? Ask for rizq. Whatever you want, keep on asking. Allah says, I've got treasure chests. Allah is telling his servants, the human beings. And the human beings say, no, I don't need it. Allah, I just want to sleep. I want to sleep. Allah, I'm just lazy. I want laziness, sleepiness. I don't need another dream. I'm going into this dream. I've bought a house in Baruch. And people are coming to me to congratulate me. I bought some land. I plot. I'm stood on the land. I've got gardens. And I am sucking on the mangoes. And shaitan showing us this dream. And what's Allah Ta'ala saying on the other side? That I want you to wander around in the real gardens in the hereafter in paradise. Why don't you come towards that? Tell me how great an opportunity our artificial sleep and the gardens and the dreams and the mattress we're sitting on and sleeping. Many thoughts and dreams and visions. You don't feel like opening the eyes because we're wandering around in a garden. Our khwaishat, our desires, they're being fulfilled. That time, somebody's got desire for women, he'll see women. And all the drama shaitani plays out. That I'm showing to you, why are you waking up? If you make the niyyah to wake up, even then you won't wake up. Beware, this is all deception of shaitan. Remember this, we should look at the words of the Quran and Hadith that teach us reality of life. Yes, so fight with yourself and wake up. That wake up and be with urgency. Suddenly get up. Just like, for example, you have a flight to catch at the airport and you're sleeping and your flight is at 9 a.m. Then you'll say, oh, let me lie down for a little bit. And when you're lying down, suddenly you'll see up, there's 30 minutes left. Then how a person jumps up and he will hurriedly get up, ooh, jump up out of the mattress. And where the blanket's gone and where the kameez gone, he'll jump up. Ooh, what's happened? Ooh, I'm going to go. Then he'll quickly splash the water on the face and run. That's called jumping out of the bed. So the ashiks of Allah, they jump out of the mattress. Oh, my Rabb is calling me. Oh, Allah is calling me. Oh, it's calling me. Not I'm a woman, a man, I'm the husband, wife. No. Where are they gone? I've got to do something else. No. Doesn't matter. What a great deed. But just a little bit, we've got to sacrifice our sleep. That's it. So after Isha, khair, you can pray, but it's not the high stage. You're now mature. You know, like the kids, the child, you give them something to play with. Now you're old, you're elderly with regards to tasawwuf. It's been quite some years. You've done dhikr, and even still now you say, are you going to pray tahajjud after Isha? No. You're not kids now, is it? We're out of the kiddies group. So let's wait for that time, the third part of the night, and say, Allah, if we can get your announcement in our ears, then what enjoyment we'll attain. Allah, if we're in sujood and we hear you saying that Allah, my servant, ask from me what you want, I'm happy with you, pleased with you. And most definitely, Allah is happy and pleased with his servants at that time. We have so many needs and issues in our life. So many needs and issues and problems, ups and downs. Somebody's not getting married, somebody's house is not selling. So, you know, small issues. And we are trapped in the masail during our lives. From morning till evening, we're sat down sad, distressed, and frustrated. But we don't have the tawfiq to make niyyah that I'll get up in the third part of the night, the tahajjud time, and keep on asking Allah for this. I'll keep on asking, says he or she. And I will keep on asking, and that's when I'll stop asking Allah. That's the mamla. Allah says, I'll give to you. And you say, yes, Allah, I'm going to take from you. I'm going to say, if you're not today, then tomorrow. I'm going to keep on prostrating at the tahajjud time. I'm not going to step back, Allah. I'm going to keep pleading to you and begging. And then the issues are solved. Problems are solved. And this is the great opportunity Allah has given to us. Sins forgiven. The ability to sin will be diminished, eliminated. Alhamdulillah, your name written on the list of the Saliheen. Allahu Akbar. And the rewards are so great at that time that without any limit, Allah Ta'ala says, those people who pray tahajjud, they will go into paradise without any hesitation. I remember an event in Bukhari Sharif. I read this. And this point is coming to my mind, this hadith. As Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, you know how great a sahabi was. He was the ashik, the lover of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallam. That was his title, ajib, eh? From amongst all the sahaba. All the sahaba were ashiks, lovers, but he was unique with regards to the sunnah. He had so much love for the sunnah of Rasulullah sallam that his title was the lover of the sunnah of the Prophet sallam. This how much love he had. And he was the dalil, the proof. For everyone who doubts, the Mufassirin, the commentators have written that he was the proof of the Sahaba, that when any sunnah had to be revived, that if he did that deed, if they saw him doing the deed, they said, this is a sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ because he's doing it. So maybe any other Sahabi didn't do it. As Abdullah bin Umar, he took hold of his beard and then he trimmed it after one fislan. And now today, we know, for example, if we take the beard to 2 or 3 fist lengths, but he was the first companion who, mashallah, demonstrated that, and he trimmed a little bit of the head that exceeded the fist. And no sahabi, he had any difference or difference of opinion when he trimmed the beard below that fist length. Then all the sahaba ikram, the companions, agreed that this is the dalil of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah. So imagine how great an ashik he must have been of the sunnah of Rasulullah. MashaAllah, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar, who is called Faruqi, because he was the offspring, the child, the son of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. So, in Sahih Bukhari, he has narrated a hadith that he saw a dream. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. And this was Ajib, Qawm, great nation, the Sahaba. And in their dreams, they would see Jannah Paradise, MashaAllah, say SubhanAllah. He was a great shakhsiyat, great. If we speak about the Sahaba, the noble companions, the Noor comes into that majlis. Every companion was a light, every Sahabi companion was a star in the sky, and we should follow them. What we can attain from them? As Abdullah bin Mubarak, rahmatullah alayhi, said that if we take from the foot of the, or the, or the footwear of the Sahabi, or let's take the foot of the horse of the Sahabi, the dust on the foot of the horse of the Sahabi has got a greater status than any human being that lived after the generation of the Sahaba. That's how great the Sahaba were. So he stated, as Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, that I saw a dream, and it was a unique dream, a ajeeb dream. He said, what did I see? That there was a little bit of cloth that was sat on, and I sat on that piece of cloth, and wherever I looked towards Jannah, that suddenly that piece of cloth would get up or spring up and float me, fly me towards Jannah. If I wanted to see something in Jannah Paradise, then that piece of cloth that I was sat on, it would fly me to that portion of Paradise. For example, if I want to see something or hear or know something about Paradise, then that cloth would take Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar to that place in Jannah. And the commentary of that dream was that that piece of cloth that Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar used to sit on and float around, fly to any part of Paradise he wanted to see, this was his tahajjud salah. Subhanallah. So imagine what tahajjud takes a person. The spirituality of a person increases so much that his ruh, his spirit is wandering around and traveling in Jannah. Should we leave such an action? And in opposition to this, no, it's too hard. How will I get up? My brothers, we have to crush shaitan and nafs and get Jannah. We think that Jannah is easy, free of charge. The companions, they sacrifice their time, their efforts. For me and you, is this a sacrifice? That we get up in the third part of the night, if we wake up just 1 hour before, we can get up before Fajr. You keep fast, don't you? So it's the time of suhoor, sari, subhanallah. 1 hour before Fajr time starts, do wudu, pray tahajjud with sincerity, humbleness. It's time to do dua, ask Allah for whatever you want, then do maraqaba of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just by listening to this, you get enjoyment. Just by listening to this. One is waking up, you're feeling downtrodden, shoggy, quickly go and do wudu. Where's Fajr namaz? Oh, where's the Fajr, the latest? Where's the last time for Fajr? And they sleep with the intention in the night that wherever a Fajr Salah is the latest, even if it's in the Makki Masjid, then from Derby Street we'll go there, but we won't wake up early to go to that Masjid where Fajr Salah is 10 minutes early. Why? Because I want to sleep 10 minutes more. That's our way of thinking, isn't it? What do we want to become? Waliz of Allah, Kutub al-Aqtab. Yes, we want the high class paradise Firdaus. But my brothers, we can't just get that without making effort. This is not a minor achievement, is it, to get the highest level in Jannah? And the excuse is, no, I was tired, I can't do this, or this reason, A, B, C, I can't get up for the Hajj, it's too difficult. Allah Ta'ala has opened the doors, the pass. We need a bit of determination, bit of courage. Yes, that you get dunya and akhirah. Dunya and akhirah. You get this world and thereafter due to tahajjud salah. Alaykum. Lazim. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, why? Because Rasulullah said, you don't know, I know how many wisdoms there are in tahajjud salah. Said the Prophet, Allah has put so much ease into your life and hereafter due to via tahajjud salah. Inshallah, I will try from today, brothers, that I won't leave this salah. And it's not the tahajjud after Isha. Now the nights are long. Have a bit of courage, determination. Set the alarm clock, wake up and speak to Allah. Ask from him directly, have discussions with him, and don't just quickly bop up and down the 5 minutes before Fajr or 3 minutes before. No. And wake up with ease, a little bit before. Don't play games and do tricks with Allah. No, take Allah's time. Take Allah's time. Allah's got plenty of time. Another point that's in here, let me tell you the truth here, that mashallah you know all this, is that shaitan's plot also is that I've got to go work in the morning, you've got to do this in the morning, and your sleep won't be fulfilled. I tell you personally that this is the biggest deception. The amount of sleep that you can fulfill after praying Isha, you will never be able to fulfill that. Never. Yes, so make a niyyah when you sleep. Make a niyyah, an intention that Allah Ta'ala, that I'm making niyyah for tahajjud, and I've only got 3 hours or 4 hours to sleep now. After that, maybe I won't be able to sleep. So Allah, with your grace and mercy, please in this 4 hours of sleep, allow me to fulfill my sleep and eliminate my tiredness. And if this doesn't happen, then come to me and say, Hazrat, this didn't happen. You will snore and you will sleep heavily. You'll feel so much satisfaction that you don't even get in 7 hours of sleep. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala is prepared. This is sadqa of Nabi Al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, so let's wake up with ease, with plenty of time. Talk to Allah openly. Allah Ta'ala wants informality. Allah Ta'ala doesn't want formality. Tell me you have your father, or your ustad, or your sheikh. And how will you speak to your father, your sheikh? Janab, huzur. You'll say this, won't you? You'll say to the elders, etc. So Allah Ta'ala, look at Allah. What do we say to Allah? Allah, you, Subhanallah. You, Allah, you're not listening. Allah, you don't give to me. We're saying you to Allah. And Allah Ta'ala says, I like this because I want informality. I want to break down the barriers. Because Allah Ta'ala says, I want you to come with me, to me, without any barriers, any restrictions, no formalities. I want an open and friendly relationship. Look at the relationship Allah Ta'ala has made. Because Allah Ta'ala says, that, can anyone dare to say you to Allah? Tell me, even the Anbiya, the Prophets of Allah, we say with adab their names. Nabi Al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say at the end. But look at Allah's glory. Allah says, the more you say you to me, Allah says, the more I love you, the more I listen to you. Subhanallah. So can we dare to say you to other elders that we have in our lives? No. So get close to Allah. And that's the time to get close to Allah, the time of tahajjud. Inshallah, have determination. Try your best after today. And if you miss one or two, don't worry. But for example, Isha, praying tahajjud after Isha, 2-4 rakats. No. Stop doing this, because this will not give you success. May Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq and you all the tawfiq as well. Ameen.